You know what time it is. It's time for Rating the Nerd.
Minisode.
With your hosts, Tim and Zach. Take it away, boys.
Welcome back to Grading the Nerd. It's time for another minisode.
Itty bitty one.
A little teensy weensy. Today we're going to be talking about just some general comic book news, comic book movie news, and the new No Way Home trailer.
No Way Home.
Yeah, coming out soon, man. We're like a month away.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy. So do you want to talk news first?
Let's do it.
All right. So let's start with a lot of Marvel news this week. There's some CW Arrowverse news, and I can't care anymore.
Is that show still on?
Oh my God. The Arrow's not, but like Flash is, and Legends of Tomorrow.
Jesus.
And they just did another crossover of some sort. So, Black Lightning is still on, and Batwoman. Those are the four.
I can't believe people
now
are still watching these shows.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there was just some Armageddon crossover or something focused on the Flash with Reverse Flash returning. But anyway, if you like those shows, go watch them. We're not going to talk about them because we don't watch any of them. So
they suck.
All right, so let's get into it, man. We got Guardians of the Galaxy news this week. Yeah. So we got a behind the scenes shot on Instagrams of Sylvester Stallone suited up as Starhawk once again from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Huh.
So I don't know if he's the only of the other Ravager team that's going to be in it, or if he's just or if it's all of them, but yeah, he was there. So, in a behind the scenes photo. Yeah. So I don't know. We may see that whole other Guardians of the Galaxy original recipe team, you know, with, Miley Cyrus and Michael Rosenbaum and others. So, I don't know.
Did you say Miley Cyrus?
Yeah. She was, so you've seen Volume 2, right? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
When Sylvester Stallone's Ravager crew, those are like the old school Guardians of the Galaxies from the comics.
Okay.
Guardians of the Galaxy from the comics. And yeah, Miley Cyrus played one of those characters.
I don't remember
the
that.
The one that was all crystalline is Michael Rosenbaum. Hmm. And so, yeah, some people in that. So we're not sure, but he is coming back at least. Other than that, we got the intro trailer, I guess you'll call it, or the like this is a coming trailer from Ms. Glenn Close for the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind ride that is opening in summer of 2022 at Epcot Center,
huh,
at the Disney Worlds. So, which is weird to me because I thought that the East of the Mississippi rules applied to all Marvel properties. Meaning that, like, I don't know if you, I think we've talked about this, about how, like, Marvel characters and rides are all at Universal Studios in Florida, but they're at Disneyland out in California. It's because back in the day when Marvel was nearly bankrupt, there was a deal struck that, like, basically east of the Mississippi, any theme park rights for rides, Universal got.
Huh.
And so that's why Disney World doesn't have any real, like, Marvel type rides or anything currently, but this seems to break that mold. So I'm not exactly sure if that deal is coming to a close, or if they're just slowly working, or if maybe the Guardians aren't original recipe Marvel as far as that deal goes or whatever, you know. So
yeah,
I'm not sure, but yeah, it is taking the place of R.I.P. Ellen's Energy Adventure in Epcot.
Ellen's Energy Adventure?
Yeah.
What the hell was that? Is it Ellen DeGeneres all hopped up on Red Bull?
It's her just berating her staff. Like, you fucking idiot. And kids are like, oh, I like her. She's the relatable lesbian. Let's see. Ellen's Energy Adventure explored. It's from 1982. Right.
Okay.
So it explored the world of energy through a combination of four separate large format film presentations and a slow moving dark ride through a jungle diorama filled with audio animatronic dinosaurs.
What does that have to do with energy?
Okay. Sorry. Never mind. That was the original ride.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
It was updated in 96 to Ellen's Energy Adventure. Starring Ellen DeGeneres and Bill Nye.
It is Ellen DeGeneres?
Yeah, it is Ellen DeGeneres. Oh, I thought you were joking. Yeah, no, it is her.
I was joking.
I thought that you were joking that like you didn't know that it was her. No, it is her.
No fucking idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, a fake nice person and a fake scientist side by side. Oh, got him. Time to take that old man down a couple notches. No, so it is at the Universe of Energy Pavilion, which was formerly sponsored by ExxonMobil.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. Let's see. So it used to be called the Universe of Energy, I think. I don't know, man. I'm trying to see. So to give you an idea of how memorable it is, we rode this with the kids, I believe, like 5 years ago when we went to Disney World, and I don't remember shit all about it other than, okay. So no, it stars other people too. So Ellen DeGeneres is in it. Bill Nye, the science guy, Jamie Lee Curtis, Alex Trebek, and Johnny Gilbert.
Mm.
Wow. One of these things is not like the other, huh? I mean, listen, I love Johnny Gilbert, but come on, he's not. Let's see. It took a lighthearted look at various energy resources, how energy is produced, the history of energy production, and the search for new energy resources. In particular, it focused on the origins of fossil fuels such as petroleum, coal, and natural gas. It also mentioned renewable resources such as solar and hydroelectric power. Let's see. In 2011, it surpassed the original Universe of Energy that it replaced as the longest running version of the attraction.
Hmm.
So it's going away and they're putting a Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster in there instead.
All right.
Yeah, which makes way more sense to me. I mean, yeah. Epcot is objectively the most boring of all the parks, you know, when you go down there. They just don't have a lot of like faster rides. And so, I mean, it's a cool park. I enjoy it. It's a lot of like, they have like little countries where it's like you just wander through the streets of like replica London. And then, you know, you walk another 400 yards or something and then you're in like China. And then, you know, you walk another 400 yards and you're in Scandinavia, you know. So it's kind of cool to get to see all that stuff. And then it's like, hey, do you want to buy a pair of wooden shoes for $80? Not really.
Yeah.
But I'm never going to make it to the real Norwegian. is that the country? Arguably also one of the worst meals when we were there, because they have a princess dinner in Norway when you're there, right?
Okay.
And like you can sign up to go. It's like a sit down formal dinner, but it's where you get to meet more princesses per capita than anywhere else in the park. Right?
Okay.
So my kids were both old enough that they didn't really interest them, but my wife is like a girly girl. And she was like, that'll be so fun. We'll get to meet the princesses. And I'm like, fine, let's do it. But it's Norway. So it's like sort of appropriate, like geographic appropriate food. So you sit down and open up the menu and it's like, oh, I could get a salted fish soup or I could get salted fish on a platter. Just a lot of salty fish options. Just
a lot of salty fish. Was it even like real Disney princesses or was it like their Norwegian equivalent?
No, it was.
Like this is Princess Jorgeborgen.
Yeah. No, it was actual and they were very lovely. They came around, like literally, I feel bad for them because they're not servers. So I don't know. I'm sure they're not getting parts of the tips. Maybe they do. But they literally walk around and every princess makes sure they stop at every table to introduce themselves and say hi.
Oh, that sounds tedious.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it was, and they were lovely. They were lovely people. Not as hot as I imagined the princesses would be in my mind. You know, like I kind of was like, you know, like, oh my God, all these Disney princesses are, I have skewed memories from being younger. Like, oh, they're going to walk around and I'm going to have to like hold myself back from glaring, you know, and just being like leering at them out of the corner of my eye while I'm eating my salted fish. And, wasn't really a struggle. I was like,
that's funny.
I was like, nice to meet you. Can I get back to my Bjorst or whatever this is? So no, they were lovely ladies though. So anywho, that's a coming. Glenn Close introduced it, so at least in the world of Disney theme park attractions, Nova Prime is still alive. All right, let's see. Moving on to Hawkeye, your favorite of all superheroes and the show you're most excited for.
Oh, I'm so excited for it. I'm thrilled to bits. How many episodes of there is that?
I think 10.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. I think it's 6. I think it's 6.
It's still 6 weeks.
Yeah, it is. So a couple things here. One, speculation had sort of abounded that Haley Atwell. Nope. She is Peggy Carter. Haley
Steinfeld.
Steinfeld was Marvel's first choice for Kate Bishop, and that she didn't even really need to audition for the role. In a Hawkeye Global press conference earlier this week, Kevin Feige confirmed that. He said, Haley did not audition. We were very, very lucky that Haley was open to this because we very much believe that she was sort of the prototype for the character. So yeah, she didn't even have to audition for the role.
That's cool.
Marvel wonder, can you imagine being in that position to like, hey, this is yours if you want it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It sort of reminds me of what happened with Simu, where he tweeted at him and they're like, yeah, let's come on in.
You know what though? I heard he, at least if you believe Kevin Feige, which why wouldn't you? What a peach of a man. He actually said that they didn't realize that he had even tweeted at them until after he auditioned.
Oh, really?
That's what he says. He said that he went through the normal audition process. They saw a lot of actors. And it wasn't until after the fact that somebody raised to their attention, like, you realize he tweeted at you like a year ago. And they were like, what? So I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm sure somebody had to bring that to their attention, though.
Probably. Yeah. You know, who knows who runs their Twitter account anyway? It's probably some schlub in a basement.
Oh, right. Yeah. Somebody making like $6.50 an hour and a bag of Cheetos a day. All right. Let's see. What else do we got for Hawkeye? Speaking of Haley Steinfeld, she was asked in an interview how she feels about the stage being set to assemble alongside the fellow young Avengers, because as we've talked, they're just introducing like the next generation all over the place, right?
Right.
And she played very coy about it. She said, I mean, listen, this feels so crazy to me right now, just sitting here with this group of people. I'm so grateful to be a part of this show in this universe. And it's only the beginning. The show's not even out. So I'm looking forward to that day. And then kind of giggled. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Like they're definitely doing it, right? Mm, like,
yeah.
She's just playing very coy, as is good. So she doesn't get murdered by Kevin Feige and his trained assassins.
I mean, but why would you talk about it? Like, you know, if you get in with Marvel, you're more than likely set for a gig for a while if you're playing like a lead character.
Right. Yeah. Why would you risk that just to be like, yeah, it's happening. Spoiled.
Yeah.
Although there's a weird like part of me as of late that like, I don't know, like when we were at like the band competition with my kid, there's part of me that's like, what if one of those kids was just like, I'm going to just march in a weird random pattern today. like, and just ruin everybody's Sunday, you know, like, I don't know, man, maybe it's just me getting older and just getting more cantankerous and wanting to watch things go awry. But I don't know, the prospect of that sort of like, made me chuckle, although I would never do it. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things that you always like imagine, like I would love to witness it,
Right.
But at the same time, I would never be brave enough to do something like
that. Right, yeah.
You know, like even if I hated everybody, which I never have, I've often got along with everybody pretty well. So let's see. Last bit of Hawkeye news. We have Vinny D'Onofrio this week. Vincent D'Onofrio tweeted in reply to the Marvel Studios Twitter account. They tweeted 1 week until we hit the mark. Marvel Studios official Hawkeye starts, blah, 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 right? And then Vincent D'Onofrio just tweeted back at them, "This is going to be fun. I love these Marvel series." So he's in it, right? Like, like you don't just tweet it. You don't still tweet that as a major actor, right?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
I mean, maybe you do. Maybe you do.
I guess you do. It does. But I mean, it's sort of like, if that's the case, it comes off like he's like an old granddad.
I know. He's just like, "You kids are doing such good work.
You kids and your good things. Look at that. I'll make some popcorn for this one."
Oh, you're choking me up. Yeah. Yeah, just... I will gather around. I'll put on my Snuggie. <We're> gonna... Oh. So, yeah, I saw that. He tweeted that at Marvel, and I'm like, he's in it, right?
I hope he's in it. I really do.
I hope he is so much, man.
Yeah.
So excited. I loved him as Kingpin. Yeah. We've talked before. We have one friend who hated him as Kingpin.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, good buddy of ours. But I loved him. I thought he was great, man. Yeah, with his little bald head and his little giant suit. He looked like Boss Baby. I loved it.
Oh, man. There's that scene in the show where he fucking murders somebody by slamming a car door against their head.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, dude, I love it.
It was brutal.
I know, man. I love that I love that character to be that, like, just gritty and grimy and just like...
He's completely unhinged, and I fucking loved it.
Completely. Yeah, me too, man. I hope he's in it. Vincent D'Onofrio, if you ever hear this, you are the fucking awesome best. I love you, man. I hope that he is in this, dude. I wanted him to be in No Way Home, but he did tweet also this week that he is not in No Way Home. He's like, you know, but I wanted him, I think I told you way back in the day, I was like, that's my hope, is that someday Tom Holland's Spider-Man gets to fight Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. I listened to a lot of podcasts this week about No Way Home. We'll talk about that here in a minute, but, man, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. Vincent D'Onofrio is one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, man, he's just so great, dude. Anyway, speaking of Spider-Man, supposedly, and this is, again, grain of salt, huge hunk of salt rumor, is that Sony Pictures is rumored to be developing a live-action Miles Morales movie.
Okay, cool.
I hope so, man.
Yeah.
Great character. Lot of fun. He was great in Into the Spider-Verse, that character.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I'm here for it.
They're doing a sequel to that, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. They're working on it right now. I'm here for it, man. I would love that. So, again, big rumor there. Let's see. There's more Spider-Man stuff, but it's trailer related, so we'll get into that in the trailer.
Cool.
All right. I got a bunch of quick hitters right here.
All right. Line them up.
All right, man. Delroy Lindo. Do you know Delroy Lindo?
Delroy Lindo?
Yeah.
Should I?
He is a huge actor, great actor. He's been in just a ton of shit, man. I mean,
I might recognize him if I saw him, but
going back to like the 70s, like, so he was in like Malcolm X, and he was in, I mean, things like Congo and Ransom.
Okay.
And
Devil's Advocate. I recognize this guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Romeo Must Die, Gone in 60 Seconds. He has officially signed on to the Blade movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, dude, okay, cool. I'm in for it, man. Love me some Delroy. So, yeah, dude, I'm here for it. He was recently in The Harder They Fall, which I still haven't gotten to watch yet, the Netflix cowboy movie.
Okay, yeah.
That's pretty new. I'm excited. I really want to see that, dude.
Is that the one with Idris Elba in it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so anyway, but yeah, he signed on to Blade. So, man, I'm excited. Another great actor in the Marvel fold now. So, let's see. In the Eternals, Weta Digital Effects has revealed that one of the hardest part of that movie for them was that in a lot of scenes, they had to replace Angelina Jolie's entire body.
Why?
I guess, according to them, Marvel was still tinkering with what they wanted her costume to look like up until like the 11th hour. And so there were significant enough changes kind of at the last minute that they were like, now let's make it look like this. And they were like, we have to replace her whole body in some scenes to make that work. And so they're like, yeah, in some of the scenes, it's just her head. And then the rest is digital effects.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. Can you tell? You saw the film. Can you tell?
I wasn't really looking for that. But I mean, it's hard to really tell because so much of these movies now, especially when you get suits, like super suits involved, the super suit so often is like at least partially CGI, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that it just sort of blends, but I wasn't really looking for it. So maybe if I was now knowing this, if I watched it again, I might be able to tell, but, you know, I think it gives men some deniability. They can say to their wife's like, no, I don't want to bang her. I want to bang that CGI body on the screen. That's not her. That's not a person. but and they did an extensive amount of work on that movie. And so for that to be one of the hardest things, I mean, I can believe it to try to make it look natural, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, kind of crazy, but let's see. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. They have begun their holiday production hiatus a little bit early this year. And listen, Letitia Wright gets a lot of crap about being kind of anti-vax. And, you know, and here's the thing. Personal beliefs and thoughts and stuff aside, she seems like a person who is nice enough and just trying to make her way downtown. You know, like, and so there was a full statement. I won't read the whole thing, sent out to the cast and crew by Kevin Feige. And so, cause I saw some clickbaity articles that were like production halts because she refuses to get vaccinated and blah, blah, blah. And no, that's not why production was halted. They've adjusted their production schedule. This is the TLDR. Because Letitia suffered a critical shoulder fracture.
That's what I thought. I heard she got injured
back in August, and a concussion with severe side effects. And she kept trying to soldier through. And then they realized that the effects of it were like sort of, I'm not sure if she tried to soldier through. She received that back in August and they thought it was much more minor than it turned out to be. So she is still recovering from some major set injuries, and they're going to get back into it in January with her back on set. That's the plan right now, but they're giving her the additional time to recover. So, you know, for everybody who's putting out a clickbaity article that's like, it's because she's a bad person. Fuck you. Like a woman got injured on a set and they're trying to give her some additional recovery time. You know? Yeah. So
I feel like those people who are bitching about that are the same people who are like, it's my body and my right. I don't want to get vaxxed.
Right. It's the same people. Yeah. Arguing both sides of the argument.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I like Letitia Wright. You know, like I said, personal theories aside, like she has said things before about vaccinations and things like that, and that I don't necessarily agree with, but can't we just all be people? You know, anyway, let's see. Black Widow. There's some Black Widow news this week.
Black Widow.
They said, so Kevin Feige dropped the bombshell this week. So Scarlett Johansson became the 35th recipient of the American Cinematheque Award. Cinematheque Award. I don't know how you say that word. It's got a Q-U in the middle of it. I'm confused this week. And Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige was there to pay tribute, right? And okay. He dropped quite the bombshell when he teased that a quote-unquote top-secret Marvel Studios project will see Johansson re-team with the studio.
Huh.
So, Deadline reports, though, that it has nothing to do with Natasha Romanoff. So, I don't think that we're getting, you know, OG Black Widow back. But yeah, she's teaming back up with the studio. So
is she going to voice a CGI character or something?
I don't know. Or maybe she's going to like direct or something, or, you know, I mean, I'm not sure. Yeah.
That's possible. So, it's less exciting, but
yeah, exactly. But, no, I don't know, man. So, apparently they are still on good working terms, lawsuit aside.
Huh.
Have you watched any of Hitmonkey? Cause that's out now.
Yeah.
I haven't yet either.
Seen multiple trailers for it, but haven't watched
it. Yeah. I kind of want to check it out, but I haven't yet. So, further leading credence to the thought that Daredevil and or Kingpin might be coming back to the MCU in short order. Apparently Marvel Studios stepped in and stopped Hitmonkey from using the classic villain Bullseye.
Huh.
They wanted to use him in the series, instead replaced by Lady Bullseye, from what I understand, which is a, you know, another person who picks up the mantle of Bullseye, has very similar powers, and is just a lady. But I say just a lady, and that's the only difference. Not just a lady, because women can aim as well as men can, Zach.
Okay. But, coming at me.
I want to cut that off before you get into it. but anyway, the mere fact that they stepped in and said, hey, you can't use him, leads me to believe that they've got plans for him in the near future, you know?
Yeah. He's a bullshit character, but okay.
Why don't you like Bullseye?
He's right up there with Hawkeye. I mean, he's useless. He's just really good at hitting shit.
He is. That's not useless.
That's useless as fuck.
How many? Oh, come on. Come on. Ugh. Can you imagine snowball fights? Tell me that's useless. I watched Red Notice this week, and there's a scene where somebody hits somebody else with a snowball at quite a range while running. And I was like, he has very good aim. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're an assassin, really good aim is probably better than a lot of other powers.
Boo.
Oh, come on.
Boring.
Do you remember the Ben Affleck one? Bullseye killed a lady with a peanut.
There's so many fucking, like, villains and heroes and stuff, and all their abilities are just, I shoot shit good. I throw things real good.
real good. Oh, man.
Fuck. Did they just run out of ideas at some point and like, well, what if we have a guy that he just throws stuff really good? Well, sure. Write it up.
Yeah. Oh, boy. What should his name be? Deadshot? Already taken.
What if we name him after that dog from Target?
That's hilarious. Anyway, it's funny that you say that, though, because in the Dark Avengers storyline where Norman Osborn puts together a group of not Avengers to basically take the place of Avengers, the Avengers, Bullseye was Hawkeye.
Yep.
So anyway. All right. And then let's see. The penultimate story that we got here is Harry Potter fan?
I do like Harry Potter.
Did you see that? Daniel Radcliffe, Rupert Grint, and Emma Watson and others are going to reunite for a 20th anniversary special.
I did not. No.
On HBO Max, January 1st, they will be reuniting for Return to Hogwarts.
Oh,
a Harry Potter 20th anniversary.
So it's just a special then. They're not like doing the cursed child or anything.
No. Yeah. Not to my knowledge. So maybe they'll announce that during the special that's coming.
Do that I think everyone would lose their shit about that.
Yeah. I think they should do it, but only if they did it how it was written as a play, so that, you know, like that we have a voiceover person. Let Jeffrey Wright do
like
it.
Like a narrator.
He's been voiceover and everything. Yeah. That's just like entering from stage right. So, yeah, let's dig into the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer, man.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it.
All right. Spider-Man, No Way Home. What do you think of this trailer, dude? This new trailer we got.
Man, lots of interesting stuff happened in it.
Yeah.
Lots of different cuts went out to different countries.
That's true, which will lead into some of our discussion.
Yeah. Some of it was, like, even just listening to the one that came out in America, I really feel like some of the audio editing was really sloppy.
Yeah, dude. They definitely pieced together, like, four or five different phrases.
Yeah.
You know?
And it comes off really robotic because the tone isn't the same throughout.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah, it's AMR or ASR. What is the, not ASMR, but the one where they just do a voiceover after the fact. Is it AMR?
No, I don't know.
I can't remember. I'm not in the industry. I'm not in the biz.
Not in the biz.
Yeah. A couple of Dr. Strange's lines seem like they were voiced over by Stephen Hawking. Like the way that they're just like, I'm like, oh, that's a little speaking spell. Yeah. So. You're right, though. Like, they've obviously pieced this thing together very carefully to try to, like, keep things sort of hidden, which we know they do in trailers all the time, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that you're right. A couple of the lines come off as very robotic sounding in this. So we get a couple more revelations that we didn't have before. We get the revelation that it appears, anyway, that, well, we know for a fact, let's talk with what we know for a fact.
Okay.
Doc Ock does not see Peter Parker as his Peter Parker. He sees him as Tommy Hollins.
Right.
Because he says, you're not Peter Parker, you know, in the trailer. So right. we realize that it's a different version. Adjacent to that scene. Well, no, we'll stick with what we know. We know that at some point Peter Parker and Doctor Strange are at odds because we see Peter trying to run from Doctor Strange with his little mystery box of madness. Mm-hmm. And Doctor Strange stops him and punches his soul out of him.
Yeah.
We now know for a fact that we are getting the return of the Lizard and Sandman.
Mm-hmm.
And we know for a fact that at least in part of the movie, we will still have Power Ranger Green Goblin.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Right. So what do you think of these things first? Let's get into that. So how do you feel about the Doc Ock, like these people don't really, they know that it's Peter or they know that it's Spider-Man, but it's not the Spider-Man that they know.
Right.
I'm kind of into that.
I'm kind of into that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the thought that some of them especially are just like, fuck it. He's Spider-Man. Like, let's get him.
Right.
What about Spider-Man and Doc Strange at odds with each other? How do you feel about that?
I don't know. Are you referring to the whole scene where they're actually like having a conversation and not attacking each other?
Well, they start with a conversation and then we see Spider-Man steal the little box and try to run with it. And then it's cut with him trying to escape outside.
And oh, Doc Strange. I was thinking you said Dr. Octopus for some reason.
Oh, no, no, no. Doc Strange.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Maybe I did, but if I did, I didn't mean to.
Okay. No, it's kind of interesting. Doc Strange sort of seems to have this opinion that there's only one way to solve their crisis. And
right.
It doesn't sound like everyone's going to make it out alive in that situation.
Agreed. Yeah.
And Peter seems to not be down with that. He wants to find another way.
Right. I like this altruistic look at Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I like a Spider-Man who naively believes that you can save everybody.
Right.
That hope is what makes him a great character.
Right.
Part of what makes him a great character. I do also like that Doctor Strange, we kind of are getting those hints at like, the what if Doctor Strange that we saw where he's just like, I can fix this, but it's gonna like, I'm gonna have to break a few eggs, you know, like, mm-hmm. And he's okay with that. Like he's a much harsher realist.
Yeah.
And I kind of dig that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we definitely get some of that confrontation. That's kind of a tropey comic book thing we've seen in a number of comic book movies, but I'm okay with it. I kind of like it where they, you know, they punch for a bit and then they're friends again, you know?
Right. Right.
I think the Weekly Planet calls that they punch for a bit, then they're mates. and I kind of dig it though. You know, we saw it in like Batman v Superman. We saw it in Civil War. We saw it in a number of things, although Civil War kind of flipped on its head where it was like they're mates and then they punch for a bit. But I mean, I'm okay with it, you know, especially because they're having discussions during the fact. Like, he's like, there's got to be another way. And he's like, there isn't, you know, like, I like that. I like the Doc Ock line, too, where he kind of says, like, you're fighting Ghost. You're going out there to fight Ghost. They all died fighting Spider-Man, yeah. You know. And so he's like, if you return, basically, I think the thought behind that is if you return them back to their world, they're going to get there just in time to die, you know. Because I don't know if they're getting yanked away right before they die, but I would kind of imagine that that's what's happening. You know? Let's see. What do you think about the Goblin Power Ranger armor still being a thing?
I'm kind of okay with it. I mean, that's how I remember him from the movie.
Oh, I hate it so much.
No, really?
Oh, I hate it so much. It's so bad.
It's so bad.
So dumb looking.
Yeah. It does kind of have a Power Ranger-y feel to it.
Oh, big time.
That was pretty big at the time, too.
Yeah, yeah. I just, especially because I'm like, you got Willem Dafoe, man. Like, you got a guy who, when he contorts his face into, like, crazy angry, like, he looks like a goblin. Yeah. like, you got the best guy to be a goblin. Why did you cover it up with a mask?
But it does look like there's a scene where he's not wearing the mask.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit. So I've heard people go like, is that James Franco coming back as New Goblin from Spider-Man 3? God, I hope not.
Yeah,
too. But I think if you know, I saw a couple videos where they like, they CSI'd it, where they like paused it and enhance, you know, which they just zoomed in and it got grainier and grainier. But, it sort of looks like Willem Dafoe. So I'm hoping that the suit gets destroyed and he goes Green Goblin proper. I think that would be awesome. Yeah, man. I don't know. I'm not a fan of the Power Ranger look. I never have been. I think it's kind of silly and not needed, you know, especially I think I've mentioned on here before. Have you seen the screen test that they did with the animatronic goblin mask?
I've seen that.
So I think that's so much better, right? It's so much more expressive, definitely more so than like the motorcycle helmet mask that he's wearing now, you know? Mm-hmm. So I am hoping that he loses the suit at some point and becomes more of a Green Goblin proper. I think that something like that could be way cooler.
Yeah.
Even if they do, sort of hybrid it between the 616 and the Ultimate Universe, where he actually starts becoming goblin like, you know, like, because in the Ultimate Universe he turns into the big like behemoth thing that we saw in like Into the Spider-Verse, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Although I don't think he becomes that big in the Ultimate Universe, but I like some sort of hybrid between the two. I think that could be cool, where he's still on the glider but he looks more goblin like and stuff. And anyway, so some of the things that people are speculating about that we get in this trailer, and I think some of them are pretty damn foregone conclusions. What about Doc Ock's arms seemingly integrating Stark Tech?
Yeah.
Where we see like the red pieces, I'm guessing from the Iron Spider suit.
Yeah, it's like he's absorbing it.
Yeah, that's badass.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm so excited about that. I'm like, that is so fucking awesome. Like, what a great way to immediately tie these two together and marry their abilities. That's just very cool. Yeah. And so we get that. We get the one thing we talked about, all of these guys died fighting Spider-Man, but Sandman doesn't in his movie.
Right.
If you remember, he dusts away like a turd in the wind, to quote Venom. And so I'm wondering if maybe they're going to go back and say that he ended up fighting Spider-Man again later and died fighting him later or something, you know? I don't know, but we see that. What do you think of some of the other things that we got a glimpse of, like, Electro's new look? What do you think about that?
That's not bad. He gets it looks like when he powers up, it gets the mask, kind of like what he has in the comics.
Yeah. I'm into it, man.
Yeah. It's kind of neat.
I'm into it because that's a silly looking mask if they tried to do it proper. Mm-hmm. So I like that it sort of just starburst out in front of his eyes when he powers up. I think that's kind of That's kind of cool. That's they found a way to do it where it's like not as ridiculous, but it still pays homage, you know?
Right.
So I'm into it. Let's see. The lizard, we don't get a real great look at him, but he still seems to be snoutless, which I kind of hate, man. I like the lizard with the big snout and
right.
and the lab coat, the tattered lab coat uh-huh. hanging off of him. But that's a personal preference thing.
Me too.
I know that the old school one was much more of like a scaly humanoid and stuff. So we're there. Let's see. What else do we get before we get into spoilery potential stuff and theory? Let's see. We see that they at least capture Doc Ock at some point because they got him locked up and they're all laughing at his name, which, you know, I saw on the new Rockstars video, he said that they okay boomer him.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, they really do.
They really do.
Let's see. I don't know. What else? What else am I missing from the trailer that we saw?
I can't think of much else.
We get one scene toward the end of the trailer. Oh, the Statue of Liberty's getting a makeover this movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's been... Yeah, I don't know if it's been destroyed or what, but it's definitely getting an Avenger, like a big Captain America shield put on it. I hope that's only a temporary thing.
I don't know. There's another scene in the trailer where there's like a background advertisement for the modification that they're making to the statue, where it's instead of, you know, the arm up holding the torch, they're going to affix a shield to it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine you would do something like that temporarily, but at the same time, man, like, you know, the Statue of Liberty holds such a symbolic, like, presence and what it stands for. It really seems a little bit like, I mean, obviously sacrilegious is a heavy word, but it seems a little bit wrong to be like, nah, we're making it mean something else. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm hoping that this is like just to celebrate maybe Rogers the Musical coming out in Hawkeye or something like, or maybe, you know, a temporary thing, but maybe it's not. Who knows? Maybe it got destroyed and they're like, we're going to rebuild it, but it's going to symbolize how we'll protect people and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But in that last scene we get of the trailer, we get Doctor Strange saying, and again, it sounds pieced together, but he says, they're coming through and I can't stop them.
Right.
Do you think that that's in reference to the villains earlier in the movie? Or do you think that this is some other threat that's coming through?
I don't know. I think they tried to leave it ambiguous like that so that we would wonder. But I'm sort of guessing that it has something to do with the villains.
Okay.
I can't imagine that they're going to add a bunch of other stuff. Really?
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
It already seems like such a busy film.
It really does. And it's long, too, isn't it? Like, its runtime is crazy, if I remember correctly. Anyway, all right, let's get to speculation and theory.
Okay.
All right, so do you want to start with some you've heard?
So some of the crazy shit that I'm still hearing is that, like, some people are going out as far as to say that it's been confirmed that Daredevil is in the film. But I find zero evidence of that. And right. and second, it seems like if we added Daredevil to this film, it would be way too fucking much. There's already, right. there's just so much shit happening. What would he possibly do in the film? But like, there's so many people that are still like, Daredevil's in this and so's the Kingpin.
I wouldn't be mad at it, but I'm with you.
I might.
Really? You might be mad at it, huh?
I want to see them come back, but not like this. There's this movie, just from the trailers alone, is busy as shit. There is so much stuff happening in this movie. Like, I feel like
if
we added these two like beloved characters that people want to see more of and just kind of like how much of the film could they possibly take up? There's just not enough room for him.
Right. It wouldn't be.
It wouldn't do him justice.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that it would definitely, it would be a member these guys.
Yeah.
And that would be
I don't like that.
Yeah. So I will say that, you know, again, I mentioned that Vincent D'Onofrio has said, I actually found his tweet. He said, I can't wait to see it. I'm not in it, but I hear it's a very cool film. So I can't imagine that. Although we've seen, you know, I mean, to another theory, we've seen other people deny being in it that nobody believes them. So as far as if they brought Daredevil in, the only place I could really see him fitting is we see from the first trailer that Spider-Man's been arrested for killing Mysterio.
Right.
Right. And so if Murdock came in as his legal defense, I think that could be cool. But I would almost prefer it if it was Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock as his legal defense in a couple scenes and nothing more.
Me too.
So that, the people in the know are like, holy shit, that's Daredevil.
Yeah.
And, you know, but we don't see Daredevil proper suit up. I think I would be okay with that.
I think I would be okay with that too. That would be fine for me. That would be enough. But like, if they went whole hog and just brought in Daredevil for 5 minutes of the movie or something, I'd be like, why? What?
Yeah, right. Now, I have heard other rumors too that Daredevil might be in the She-Hulk show, you know, which she's a lawyer, he's a lawyer. That might make sense. I think I incorrectly said in one of our other podcasts that that She-Hulk actually was suing Star Fox at one point. I don't think that's true. I think she actually defended him in court. I don't remember if I did or not, but she's commonly involved in super powered beings, legal proceedings.
Right.
So it might be a good place for Daredevil to come back as well. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, you ask what Daredevil could even do in this movie. He could kick Lizard in the face.
Yeah, we do see that happen in some of the other releases from other countries. There is that scene where Spider-Man's jumping over all three of the villains, sort of leaning towards Sandman's face, and then all of a sudden the Lizard gets hit, but there's nothing there.
So thank you. It was Argentina or Brazil?
I thought it was India for that one.
Oh no, I don't know. I
don't know. I know it was from another country.
It was from another country, not Marca. So thank you, not Marca, for improperly cutting your trailer. but we definitely see that something has been scrubbed out of that scene.
Yeah.
Which even before that came out, watching that scene, I was like, I said to my wife, I'm like, why is the Lizard jumping at nothing? That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Because I'm like, even like Electro, he's sort of looking away from Spider-Man, but he could blast him from a distance. The Lizard's only got melee weaponry, you know? So theory one, Kingpin, Daredevil, the more and more that's getting added to this movie that we are confirming, the less and less I think that they might be in it.
Right. You know? Yeah, that's how I feel about it too.
Right. So one of them that we heard way back when, and I'm less and less inclined, is Doctor Strange being mind controlled, or is he evil or something in this?
Okay. So like, this was another theory that I keep hearing people like, they're standing in the firm ground and saying, that's not Doctor Strange. That's someone in a Doctor Strange disguise.
Right.
And I don't think I buy that yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't either. I'm still concerned, or not concerned, but I'm still not sure why he's so willing to try to do such a dangerous spell,
right?
Other than he's just full of hubris. We've seen that he's always full of hubris.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, he's kind of, you know, pompous about his skills. So.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, I don't think that he is a bad guy in this, at least not in the stuff we saw in this new trailer. You know, I mean, I even was leaning toward the scene where they're on the train and he's like building the trains around Peter and stuff. You know, we talked about how, I mean, I even thought, I was like, what if that's the what if Doctor Strange, like the dark universe one?
Uh-huh.
That would be badass. But I don't, I'm leaning to less and less likely that that's the case personally.
No, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, there's nothing wrong with Doctor Strange. Like, people just keep saying, like, coming up with these to me, the wacky ideas, like he's under a spell or he's been possessed, or it's really, it's Mephisto. I keep hearing
or,
that
or
too.
Or Agatha. I've heard that too.
Agatha, yeah.
Yeah.
No, no. I don't think so.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
I think you're right. I think it's all about his hubris and believing that he can just do this outrageous thing and it'll be fine.
Right, right, yeah. Let's see. What else have you heard? Any other? I mean, obviously, there's one biggie that we'll get to at the end, but
I don't remember. I mean, that some of that kind of jogged my memory. The Doctor Strange thing was definitely one of them.
What about the introduction of Venom and the symbiotes?
I haven't heard that.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that they might be in this movie as well. They might be bringing them in. In fact, one of the theories I heard is that maybe that's what Doctor Strange is talking about at the end when he's like, they're coming through and I can't stop them, is that it's an army of symbiotes coming in.
Huh.
You know. And this is, I don't think this ruins anything from the most recent Venom movie, but there is a line in that where Venom tells Eddie that the symbiotes are a hive mind that communicate across the cosmos and the multiverse, basically, is how he words it, I believe.
Okay.
And so that kind of lends credence to, well, if it is one of them coming in to the universe, it might be all of them if they're coordinating, you know, but I don't know, man. Again, like, that's just a lot to throw into this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what makes me think that scene is earlier in the film.
Yeah, I think it might be. I think it might be just the other universes are coming in and that's what he's speaking to.
Right.
You know, like things are merging. What about one theory I've seen, which is kind of weird, is that there might be two J. Jonah Jamesons in this.
But why?
Just from multiple universes.
I mean,
like, because J.K. Simmons plays them.
Yeah, I know that.
In the MCU and in the Raimi universe.
Right.
But I've heard that, you know, we do get a quick shot of J. Jonah Jameson kind of smiling at the carnage that's happening around the city.
Rye Alex Jones looking smile.
Yeah, it is. I think it's because he's like, oh, I'm going to be able to pin this all on Spider-Man so hard.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I got out of that, too.
But yeah, one of the theories I saw is that he might be playing dual roles as the newspaper magnate from the Raimi universe and the InfoWars style, you know, video essayist from the MCU.
Right.
So I don't know. That one seems to hold very little credibility to me as well. I just don't. I don't think that it makes a ton of sense.
No, you know? It doesn't.
I think those are the biggies. I mean, I've seen some real wild stuff. One of them is, what do you think? I've seen this theory that Ned might become the Hobgoblin.
Why?
Well, he is in the comics.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So in the comics, Ned is the Hobgoblin, actually.
Huh.
And we see that Jacob, what's his last name that plays Ned? Jacob... Batalon, he's actually slimmed down a lot lately, so that lends a little credence to maybe he's gearing up for a more physical role, or, you know, but I don't think we're gonna see that in this movie. I even though it has comic book origins, I just can't imagine that they'll also try to put the origin of Hobgoblin in this flick as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I don't think so.
Plus, I think if we have another whole movie with them as friends, I think that makes the fall to villainy even harder for him. You know, it makes it a bigger issue in the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So one of the others I've heard is deaths. You know, when Strange is talking about that, you know, you can't save them all, that he's not in fact talking about the villains, but he might be talking about people in Peter's life. So
I'm
we
not
definitely
convinced about
see-
that either.
Okay, because I was going to say, we see a lot of people from the MCU in this movie, right? So,
yeah.
Obviously, Doctor Strange is in it, but we also, Wong is in a trailer, Happy Hogan is in a trailer, May Parker is in a trailer, you know. We've got MJ and Ned, you know, you've got his lesser, like, kind of background players with Betty Brant and Flash Thompson, the school bully. So, but you're thinking that it is just the villains.
Yeah, it kind of feel like it is. I mean, I suppose you, it does look like there's a scene where Happy might be in danger.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, if they kill off that character in a Spider-Man movie, that seems kind of stupid.
Yeah. I think that it gives Peter a better heroic arc if he's trying to save the lives of villains. Cause if you're trying to save your aunt that's basically like your mom, then you're probably an okay guy, you know, but if you're trying to save the life of somebody who just tried to murder you because you think everybody deserves a second chance, you're probably the cream of the crop, you know, like,
right.
So I think it gives him a more heroic arc if it is just the villains that might die as they get sent back. So, okay, that leads us to the biggie that has been speculation rampant for forever, that there are three Spider-Men in this movie, not just the one.
Yes.
What do you think of this, man? So
I think that's true.
We talked about the lizard getting his face kicked by an invisible force.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that they will wait until the whole movie is completely fucking out before that comes out.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think that it won't be revealed. I think that they won't show anything. In fact, I've seen theories that in this trailer, we see MJ falling from that scaffolding, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we see Peter dive after her and his outstretched hand and her hand in a scene. I've seen people say, I think that's probably been altered. I think that's Andrew Garfield's hand to redeem himself from losing Gwen in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, where he couldn't save her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I kind of think that's possible. We definitely, like I said, in the 3v1 leap scene, it definitely looks like it should be 3v3 just for composition's sake.
Right.
And, you know, I've seen new rock stars did a little bit more in depth where they examined closely the frame right before that, where he's on like the spike of the Statue of Liberty. And then he like lands and then he leaps off and they're like, you can see some weird distortion on either side of him, like on the background, like something was scrubbed out of there. So they think it's going to be two other Spider-Men landing beside him. Obviously we're talking, you know, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield's Peter Parker's.
Right.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of, a credence to be lent to that thought. I think that it only makes sense that they would be back to get some of their sort of closure to their stories. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Spider-Verse was huge for Enter the Spider-Verse for Sony.
Yeah.
So I think doing a live action version might be big. I will say something that I haven't seen people theorize on too much. And again, it would be bringing an origin into this, which might be more clutter, but there's a part of me that would almost love it if instead of the other two Spider-Men, we actually got Gwen Stacy, Spider-Gwen pulled in from another universe and Miles Morales pulled in from another universe. And those are the two that are fighting.
That would be crazy. That would be crazy.
I think that would be awesome.
It would be awesome, but it would be crazy only because they would have done some masterful work with hiding the fact that those two are in this movie.
And up to cast. This point
in cast. Because there's just so much rampant speculation about the other two Spider-Men being in the movie. And like, they're like, well, we've seen this person on set over here and this person was talking to this guy and he's in that movie and yada, yada. Right. But then there's nothing about a Spider-Gwen or Miles Morales.
Right. Right.
And that would blow my mind if that was the case.
Yeah, if they were able to pull that off, I think that you would almost not even need intros. It could be the last fight scene, and then at the end they introduce themselves as like, "Hey, I'm Gwen," you know, and I'm Miles, and then the next movie talks about them, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
That would blow my mind in a great way.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, man. Like it would be so. It would be a level of competency that we usually don't see in hiding things.
Right.
You know? So yeah, I'm with you. I can't imagine that that's the case, but I don't know. I'm hoping. I'm still hoping.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be cool to see the other two Spider-Men. Although at this point, I mean, Tobey Maguire is what, 57 or something? Like he's, he's an older fella at this point.
Yeah.
So, but I do kind of like the, I do kind of like the idea that maybe, I mean, he's still got a pretty youthful face though, if you look at him.
Yeah.
But I do kind of like the idea that he, yeah, he's like, he's, 4 years older than me. So he's 46. So, I do kind of like the idea that he's a Peter Parker that's been at it for a while and he's kind of beaten down and, you know, and he's carrying these ghosts with him, and especially to then, if he got pulled through and to have to fight some of these villains that he's fought before. You know, the other thing that I think could be a possibility, which I kind of think is less satisfying, is that if we get like Doc Ock becomes a good guy and he's on his side there, and you know, and perhaps one other previous held villain becomes good and helps him out or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's I think that's a lot less satisfying in my mind.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know, man. I'm so pumped for this, and like I said, less than a month away. I think it comes out December 17th, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Like the week before Christmas. Yeah, dude. So that's what, 1, 2, 3.5 weeks from now. That's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I know we spoke yesterday. Hopefully we're going to get to watch it the weekend it comes out, and we'll have some coverage on it.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. So. Sounds like it'll work out okay.
Cool, cool. Awesome. Any other parting thoughts on Spider-Man No Way Home trailer?
Not from me, no.
All right, man. I don't think I've got anything either, man. I'm just excited. I think I might be done, though. Like, I know that they'll probably have some TV spots and stuff that come out, but I don't think I'm going to watch any more of those.
Yeah, I don't want anything else ruined for me.
Yep, yep. All right. Well, sounds good. I'll talk to you.
All right, later.
Greeting the Nerd was recorded and produced by Zach Boyd and Tim Witham in Dayton, Ohio. If you liked our show, subscribe, rate, share, and review on Apple Podcasts or other platforms. For questions, comments, or ideas, drop us an email at gradingthenerdpodcast@gmail.com. As always, Anchor members can send us a voicemail. Our theme music was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can find all of his credits and links in our show notes. Come back for more, and we'll see you next time on Grading the Nerd.